Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Isaiah, and we're in chapters 43 and 44. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
That's one very profound word right there, isn't it? But look what he says in the next verse. I am he that blotteth out thy transgression for my own sake. You know, when the Israelites would pray, dear God, please have mercy for David, thy servant's sake. Does that put it in a little bit of perspective that when we say, in Jesus' name, we don't deserve to have our sins forgiven, but in Jesus' name, please. Oh, now I got it. Now I get it. He forgives me in Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake. Not because I deserve it, but because Jesus, oh, he delivered salvation full and free. It's a complete work. That's why when he said it is finished, he was saying it is paid in full. Tetelestai. He says, thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. He says, but I blotted out your transgression for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together and declare thou that thou mayest be justified. And you know what that's saying? It's plead means we're going to have a courtroom drama here. You know, you bring your facts, I'll bring mine. And he says, you put me in remembrance. And now you can finally be justified. You will not be justified in your own efforts, in your own works, in your own devices, or in your own designs. He says, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Let's go to court about this. He says, put me in remembrance. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. That's what the 144,000 are going to do. They're going to say, Jesus was a Messiah. That's what all the saved Jews are going to do in Israel. That's what the two witnesses are going to do in Israel as they preach for 3.5 years. And they're going to preach that Jesus is why they're saved. Not because of themselves, because they already know that ship has sailed. Couldn't have been that. And any of us who are honest know it couldn't have been that for us either. He says, put me in remembrance. You might underline those words to remind you what that verse is all about. Verse 27 says, thy first father had sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. What he's saying is, he's saying, I get it. I get it. You know what the first father's probably referencing? The Moabites and the Canaanites and all of them. They were the ones that they mimicked. He said, don't be like those nations. And there's a verse that talks about that they were their father in one sense. We could go all the way back to Adam. We could say, like David said in Psalm 51, he says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. I've got a sin nature. I'm a mess. But he's saying, I get all that. I understand that. That's why I'm standing by you. Isn't that crazy? It's like, okay, I get it. You ever met somebody you were really wondering why they're so mean all the time, and then finally you heard their story? And you realize, man, they've been bumped, hit, beaten, battered, rejected, hated. And all they're doing is hitting back before anybody gets close to them. And pretty soon you're like, man, I feel really bad about that. I really need to do something for Joe or Jill or whatever. I need to help. And that's what God does with you and me. He knows what you're like. He knows why you're the way you are. Verse 28 says, therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary and have given Jacob to the curse and Israel to reproaches. Now understand what he's saying in essence is he's saying, yeah, I know. I know. You've been under judgment. You've been under a curse. It's been tough. But you know what? 1900 years later, you still are a people. Who can say that? 70 AD to 1948. Okay, just a little under 1900 years. These people still are a people. Not only are they still a people, but now they're back to a land that was all but a desert when they showed up, and now it's springing forth. God is amazing. Verse 1 says in the next chapter, yet now hear, O Jacob. He says, fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun. Jeshurun means upright one. Upright one. He's calling him upright. You know, when God saved me, he called me son. You know what he did? He went beyond it and he said, saint. He said, child of God. He says, join heir with Christ. He says things to me that I just say, well, wait a minute. That can't be me. Are you? Linda said she went into this place recently and the lady knew my daughter and she knew Linda from having met her once. She says, hey, it's so good to see you. Linda's like, what? Who? What? You know, because she didn't know the lady that well. But because my daughter had made a good impression and my wife was also connected to her in that woman's mind. She was treating her like an old friend. You know what God does? He treats you like his child. Come on in and sit on my lap. Because you're mine. And my mark is upon you. He says, come. He says, hear now. He says, fear not, because you're a Jeshurun who I have chosen. Verse 3 says, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. I love that. If you're thirsty, you've seen it, right? Somebody taking a drink pretty soon. They take a whole bucket just poured on. This is going to be a really hot time during the tribulation. The Bible says the sun is going to scorch men on earth. They're going to cry out for that plague. He says, I'm going to pour out water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground, and I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. This is a great hope. Verse 5 says, one shall say, I am the Lord's, and another is going to surname himself by the name of Israel. This is sort of like getting a check mark on your sneakers, you know, or you know, getting a Land's End insignia here. They're going to be all about it. Okay, they're going to be all about God. That's what he's saying. And he says in verse 6, I am the first and the last. And beside me there is no God. Revelation chapter 1 verse 8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, which was, which is, and which is to come. I'm the beginning and the ending. He says in chapter 1 verse 11, he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. He says in chapter 1 verse 17, fear not, I am the first and the last. Did you hear that? First and the last. Jesus is saying, I'm the first and the last. By the way, verse 8 says, I am the Almighty. Of Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. He says in verse 17, I'm the first and the last. Revelation 2, verse 8, I'm the first and the last. Revelation 22, verse 13, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Here we have it said that God says, I am the first and the last. Beside me there is no God. Who is Jesus? He is God. We need to worship him. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. He was never called that by a proper name. It was what people understood him to be. Doubting Thomas falls to his knees and says, my Lord and my God. We need to understand the hope we have is not just sort of a hope so. It is a no so. It is an anticipation. And it will get you past the nonsense of these desperate times. Verse 8 says, fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have I not told thee from that time and have declared it? He says, I've told you all along. He says in verse 7, and who as I shall call and shall declare it and set it in order for me since I appointed the ancient people. Who has done it like I have done and the things that are coming and shall come? Let them show unto them. He says, there's no other God that did this. I told you what was coming and I did it. This, by the way, makes sense of Romans. You might put it in your margin for looking at later. Romans chapter 9 and verses 10 and 11, where the Bible says, it's not to him that works, but of him that calleth. When he says calleth, he's not talking about calling people out. He's saying he called it. Just like he says here, and who as I shall call and shall declare. He's saying, I call it and it happens. Okay? Flip a coin, call it. He calls it. He called it. It's not him that works, but of him that calls. God is the one who calls. That's connective to Romans chapter 9. Verse 8 says, ye even are my witnesses. That's what's happening in the millennial kingdom. There is witnesses. Verse 9 says, they make graven images. And there's a whole discussion about graven images. It ends at the verse 20 where he says, he feedeth on ashes. He that makes graven images feeds on ashes. Why does he say that? Because he says after a while, those graven images, they're made of wood, they wear out, they get chinked, and they get messed up, and finally they chop them down and they make their roast. He says, you know, they're feeding on ashes. I am God, and you are my witnesses, he tells Israel. And all the while that Israel's being his witnesses, guess what we are? We're ruling and reigning with Jesus. No big deal. Really? It is a big deal. We are a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, you know, that we should show forth the praises of him because we're his witnesses of him that called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He says in verse 21, remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant. Verse 22, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions and thy sins. He says, I have redeemed. You see what he's doing? He's sowing hope to a people who are going into a dark tunnel called Babylonian captivity, Assyrian captivity, dispersion, judgment, and annihilation, it would seem, at 70 AD. But not. They might have looked down. They might have looked slaughtered. But they were not done. On the day of Pentecost, there were Israelites coming from all nations to Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell in Acts chapter 2. He says, I am the God, in verse 24, that maketh all things, that frustrateth the tokens of liars, that confirmeth the word of his servants. That means prophets prophesied and I confirm it. And he says in verse 28, that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure. This is written better than 100 years before Cyrus is ever born. And Cyrus is so taken by the fact that his name is written down, that in Ezra chapter 1, he says, seeing that the God of all the heavens has seen fit to call me and tell me to send the people of God back to their homeland and let them build a temple in their city, he says, let it be so. And over again, he quotes in Ezra 1 and Daniel 9 talks about when the going forth of a commandment to rebuild the temple. He says, from that day to 483 years is going to be when the Messiah will come. And that is right here, first of all, foreshadowed 100 years earlier, better than 100 years because this is a serious time, all the way up to when they get out of Babylonian captivity 70 years later. We're talking about some amazing things. Where he calls Cyrus by name, and this is not the only place he does it. He calls him his shepherd, and he says, I am the Lord that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built. The city. All I want you to know here is this hope we have, we can feed on this. It's got grit. It's got teeth. And when you go out in your day-to-day and you see your country, which you love many times, looking like something you don't even recognize. When you go out there and you try to witness to somebody who has such a darkness in their heart, they would rather argue with you than even talk about God. Because the darkness is kind of covering the land. Every now and then you'll find those people who are really willing and open, and they're exciting to find. It's a good day. But it's getting fewer and further between, isn't it? We're finding that our country is going dark. But I want you to know, Jesus is the light of the world. And he who will come shall come, and he will not tarry. And we have great hope for these desperate times. And if you don't know Jesus, you need to. Because he said, I'm the way, and no man comes to the Father but by me. There's a lot of people who think it's the way of works, it's the way of baptism, it's behaving a certain way or keeping a certain creed. It has nothing to do with that. The Bible says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and inasmuch as to call him God, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The Bible says God loved the world so much he gave his only begotten Son that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. The next verse says this, of John 3:17. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I hope you have great hope. In this church, I think you hear it enough to know, hey, this hope is real. You know, those dry bones that Ezekiel was shown was Israel. They looked like they were gone. Can these bones live? He says, you know, Lord. He says, speak to the wind. And as he spoke to the wind, it brought rattling among the bones, sinew among the bones, flesh among the bones, and they raised up a mighty army. To this very day, Israel is a blessed country in a biblical sense. You realize, perhaps, that they just recently said they may very well have found a cure for cancer. Pretty amazing stuff. They're the ones who gave you your cell phone. That was their technology. They're the ones who have what we would call Star Wars here. They do it off the ground. They shoot missiles out of the ground as they come. 1,500 missiles a year or something like that shot at them. They knock them all down that are in any way going to be dangerous. Many of those that are shot by the enemy of Israel go into the desert because they don't know what they're doing. They're just throwing rocks and seeing if they can't hit something. That's how primitive they are. Israel's over there. Oh, that one's going to hit a city. Let's knock it down. I want you to know, guys, you're living in biblical times right now. The movie's about ready to run the credits, and I'm excited. Aren't you? Would you bow with me for a moment?
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30, and we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.